On this week's Xamarin Show, I have my good friend Jordan on to talk about all the new hotness in Visual Studio for Mac, like editor config and TFVC support, so tune in. Welcome back, everyone, to the Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I'm really honored to have my good friend Jordan on, a PM for Visual Studio for Mac. How's it going, Jordan?
Hey, James. Going well. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm glad we figured out all the Skype issues that we were having and screen sharing. Everything's working good.
Perfect.
So, Jordan, maybe tell everyone a little bit about yourself, everyone that's tuning in.
Yeah. So I, like you said, James, I work on Visual Studio for Mac. I've been in the team now for about, like a year and a half or so. And so I focus on the Visual Studio for Mac IDE platform as a whole. So that comes down to things like the shared components, like the project system support, version control tooling, editor support, integration with Roslyn for our C# editor. All those things you can kind of think about as like the core of the IDE. That's the space that I work on with the team.
Got it. Yeah, because now Visual Studio for Mac does a bunch of stuff, right? So we know that it does a lot of the Xamarin mobile development parts, but what else does Visual Studio for Mac do now?
Yeah, so now it's got, we also do ASP.NET Core and .NET Core development, so you could do your console-based development out of there, or, like I said, ASP.NET Core. Unity is a big one. And then there's some tooling also, and we'll talk about that in a moment here, around Azure Functions, so you work on like C#-based Azure Functions projects.
Very cool. So what do you want to talk about today when it comes to Visual Studio for Mac, Jordan?
Yeah, so we could talk about a bit of what we've got in 7.6, which is the current release that's out, and then a little preview of things to come in the 7.7 release, which will be next up. There are previews out now. A preview of some of the stuff we're talking about today may actually be out by the time everybody sees this video.
Very cool. I'm really excited because you sneak peeked a little bit of what you were going to show, and I didn't even know that some of the stuff was out yet, so I'm really excited to take a look. So yeah, let's hop over to your PC or your Mac, and let's take a look.
Cool. And I will give the caveat that I'm also running on an early dev build for a few things here, so I think we got it worked out. We won't have any surprises.
Sure.
But it's kind of that like early sneak peek fun, so
perfect.
Always a good warning, I think. Cool. So let me show you first. We mentioned Visual Studio for Mac 7.6. I'll just call out the big themes for the release. A lot of what we've done, and this carries forward into 7.7 as well, is around the performance and reliability of the IDEs, really around the text editor. We hear folks loud and clear. That's been a common point of feedback. We're doing a lot of work on that. So that's been a lot of the work in 7.6 was on that. And then a key feature that we had was Azure Functions support, taking what we have had in preview in the product for a while, moving to having full project template support for Azure Functions. So I can give you a quick peek at that there and then talk about one of the other things in preview right now is Team Foundation version controls. So this is like if you're using TFS or Azure DevOps with the TFVC repo format.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Let's make sure you get your screen sharing up there.
Okay.
Perfect. That looks great.
So I mentioned real quick on Azure Functions. So I got my sample project here is a mobile CRM project. And what we're going to do is I want to add in an Azure function that you could use for, say, when somebody new is being added into the CRM system, a new contact record, I may want to have something fire off. So we're going to create an Azure function
These are all the different project templates. You kind of were scrolling through the stuff that we were just talking about. So ASP.NET Core, and then you selected, where did you select that one at? That's under cloud. Okay.
So that here was under the cloud option. You can pick our Azure functions option.
Perfect.
And that's in the product by default. There's nothing extra you install. If you've got Visual Studio for Mac, you've got this option in here for Azure Functions.
Oh, cool.
And Azure Functions, those will let you use, serverless computing. I can define my functions. They're going to run up, hosted in Azure, using Azure resources. I don't need to even do any special deployment or setup of a VM or anything in the cloud. The tooling here will show going through it. I can just create this function in here and deploy from the project in VS for Mac straight on up to Azure.
Oh, nice. So. And what are all these different templates that you have in here?
Yeah, so what we've got, there's a few different templates. These are the same ones you'd also have over in Visual Studio on Windows. These are options for Azure functions like an HTTP trigger. As you'd expect, you could kick that off from any HTTP request, like in a browser window even. Timer trigger for scheduled events, queue trigger that you can queue up events to run, blob triggers, and I don't know as much on like the durable functions orchestration, for example, but these are some standard sets of templates you have for working with Azure Functions.
Cool, so any of those events that come in. So you're gonna create an HTTP one?
Yeah, cool. And the walkthrough we've got here too, if you were to do something like say a timer trigger, you'll see the in Visual Studio for Mac, the template provides you some fields for doing custom configurations of these functions if they have inputs they need.
Oh, cool.
It's an HTTP trigger, it's pretty straightforward. There's some access permissions you could change. And otherwise, it's going to create and add this to our solution.
Yeah, it's kind of nice that when you're selecting different templates, it knows exactly kind of help you on the next step as far as like what's kind of required for the setup, which is really nice.
Yeah, and if you'd ever worked with the Azure Functions in the product before the 7.6 release, we still have the templates, but they were through another command. We didn't have them right at the start, so that was a nice new change to just bring that. As soon as you create a function, you get a common set of templates you can work with.
Yeah, very cool.
So I'm going to, what I've done is it's created our function. I'm going to start it running here, and this will let me run this locally with the Azure Functions runtime, so I can do some local debugging and working on this before I deploy it up to Azure.
Oh, got it.
Did you can see here, if you look, there's some definitions of what our function name would be. This is an HTTP trigger function, so it can define, that allows get and post commands. You can define some security settings here.
Oh, very cool. Did you set that one as the startup project?
Oh, you're keeping me honest. Good catch, James. So I'm going to go ahead and set this as our startup project, and we'll get the function to start running.
So you're actually building and then debugging the function locally with Visual Studio for Mac?
Yeah. So this will let me, before I go in and I commit all the way and like push it up to Azure, I can debug the function locally, make sure it's working the way I want, and it has full debugging support like you see here. It's coming up with our usual locals and like call stack windows.
Oh, cool. So you're actually like running the Azure Function CLI. Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So it'll pop up. This is the, like you said, the Azure Function CLI is running here. It's going to give me a URL in a moment, which is what I can put into my web browser to actually execute the function.
Oh, cool.
So we'll grab that. And on this one, this function takes a query string parameter. So I can put your name on in there, and it's going to execute the function. If we switch back here to Visual Studio, we'll see the breakpoint should be hit here in just a moment. There we go.
Oh, nice.
And so now I'm here, and I could, go further along. I can do our step overs. You'll see that from the query string, it's going to get the name parameter, and so all the debugging tooling you expect from the IDE experience is there for you working on your Azure function.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome.
Run here then. I just went ahead and hit run, and I'm going to switch back again to the browser, and there we go. Our function ran, and now we can see it.
Best Azure function ever. I love it.
So as a final step, let's say that's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. I can come in and through the publish action here by right-clicking on the project, choosing publish. There's a publish to Azure option. And this is going to take for my accounts that are signed into the IDE, I can see my existing subscriptions. If I don't have any, I could add a new one from this dialog. We'll give you a quick example of what the setup process looks like. So for example, I was playing with one function for the CRM system the other day, so now I can see it here in the list. I could come in and create a new service, and this will walk me through the different steps I need if I want to use a different subscription for this. Kind of the standard things you'd expect for working with setting up your environment to publish to Azure.
Oh, very cool.
And then when I'm all done here, I'm not going to go ahead because it'll take a little while, but I can click create. It'll create the app service plan for me, and then I can push this function up there and be able to start working with it right out of Azure right away.
Oh, very cool. Nice.
So that's one thing that's in 7.6 today. Another one we should hit on real quick, one of my favorites, is around editor config. So if you aren't familiar with it, editor config is a way that you can actually specify at a solution level or a project level code formatting preferences or different rules. The things like the indentations, you know, how many spaces you want an indentation. What we're going to do is use one here that is from, I believe it was a Xamarin Essentials project that has some handy rules in it. So what I'm doing to add an editor config, in this case, I could right-click, add a new text file, name it .editor config, and there's lots of great resources online on what those settings are named and what your options you have. In this case, I'm going to use an existing file that I downloaded. On the Mac, by default, anything with a dot at the beginning of its name is hidden, so if you want to see these files, I went to Add Files, I've navigated to where this file is on disk, and on my keyboard, I'm hitting it's called the Command-Shift period there, and that opens up and shows that hidden file, so now I can select .editor config.
Oh, cool.
Let's add that in here. A few options, I'm just going to copy it into the current directory.
So this is kind of like...
We were looking at the Azure Function project. Let me switch over here. I can open up this file, which is one of the files in my project. This is a service for working with accounts.
Got it. So the editor config is kind of like, for my team or project, I can kind of carry my settings across the IDEs, basically. So if this works in Visual Studio over here, I can kind of create my code formatting rules that I want. Does that sound right?
Right, exactly.
Oh, cool.
So if I open up that one for real quick, for example, here, editor config, you can see some defaults in this project for how to work with indentation sizes. We look at XML files, for example, and they get a couple spaces, C#, 4 spaces. And then there are even some rules specific to .NET, like this var keyword here. You can actually say where you like the var keyword to be used versus explicitly calling out the type of, say, a variable in your code. This file here has a rule that basically says the error if you're not using var. I think I'm reading it right.
Yeah. So yeah,
referring
always use it everywhere.
Var.
Yeah.
Yep. So if we take our account repository here, you'll see that I've got an explicit type called out for the accounts. And
oh, there we go. I'll see a little light bulb there.
Yeah. This is actually showing a new feature that's coming up in 7.7, but this will call out that rule. It's saying that, you know, it's actually this little error light bulb that shows up here and shows you that, you know, you should be using var instead of the explicit type. So based on that editor config file, it said it preferred to use var everywhere. And so you get this light bulb. Normally you get a little squiggle here too as a warning. Looks like I found a bug in the local, like, early preview that I mentioned, but you'd get a little squiggle there, and then you could come in and you see previews for ways you could address this code change. I'm going to just click the option here to use var, and now it will change it up for me.
Oh, very cool. And then it changes back to the little wrench there, so then those give you
get these as just general changes, recommendations, suggestions you could make to your code. This is something that it was in Visual Studio on Windows, came out a while ago. There's been the light bulb icon for a bit. Now there's three states of an error light bulb or the screwdriver with things you could do. The error light bulb is, this is an error situation. Here's some ways to fix it. And then a light bulb is suggestions, like these are things you should do to your code.
Oh, cool.
Little screwdriver icon here shows up for a lot of things. There's always something you can do to tweak in your code, really, right? So
yeah.
Options, and you can preview what choosing that refactoring, for example, would do to your code.
Oh, very cool. I like that. And I like that it just kind of picked it up, showed me it was an error immediately, and then I was able to refactor it immediately, so you're able to fix up that error. I'm a huge editor config fan, especially when I work in the open source, because everyone has different ways of compiling their code, different IDEs, so it's nice to have this working everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, so that was a little, since it didn't give us the squiggle there, that jumped us ahead a little bit to a sneak peek of one of those features. But if you did this in the 7.6 release that's out right now, you would have seen a squiggle there from the editor config. Would be the difference if anybody's trying this out before 7.7 and the light bulb support is in. So let me come back in a moment on the editor stuff. I want to finish up on some of the things you can do in 7.6 today.
Okay.
So the last thing I can show real quick here is our support for TFVC. Now, what TFVC is it's another repo format for, like, you have Git repos. You can use TFVC. It's the Team Foundation version control. It's a format that's been in Team Foundation server, or TFS, for a long time. It's that was like the original source control format you were working with in TFS.
Got it, yeah.
So this was a very common request from customers, like one of our top requests, to have some support for Team Foundation Server and working with those repos. So you have right now in the 7.6 and 7.7, there's this preview extension you can get by going into the extensions of the IDE. And if you go in here to the gallery tab, you could actually find under version control this option for the TFVC extension. So you can install this today. It's a preview. And we're working to, by our 7.7 release, we're working to get this pretty much to the release quality, like get out of preview state. So we're in the final rounds of addressing bugs primarily. The user interface is pretty much set on this extension. Now it's like fixing different connectivity issues and such.
Very cool. So what all can I do inside that extension? Because I know that Visual Studio for Mac already has Git support and support for other types of repositories. So what all can I do in this thing?
Yeah, so right now this specifically works for TFVC support. So in this example here, I've gone and I connected up to my Azure DevOps instance, formerly Visual Studio Team Services, for anybody that hadn't caught the rebrand yet. So Azure DevOps, I've got this project set up there, and inside of that project, it has a few Git repos as well as some TFVC repos. Now, this extension is just adding support for TFVC right now. When you look ahead down our roadmap toward the 8.0 of the product, we actually bring these all in product, where TFVC and Git from Azure DevOps are in this same kind of interface. It'll flow more naturally. For now, it's just TFVC is what we're unblocking, if you will, with this extension.
Got it.
So I can come and I can browse and connect to my TFVC repos. In this case, I could set up a workspace, which is something you need with TFVC, or use an existing one and connect to that. For the sake of speed here, I've already got a connection locally to that repo, so let me just show you one last thing. I can go into the Source Control Explorer, and this lets me view the folder structure and the files that are up in TFVC. I can navigate my training repo, and if I don't have it locally, I could map it, which is a thing you do in a workspace, to map the stuff up in TFVC to a folder locally. Or if you do already have it local, like this project I've already got mapped locally for my source files, I could come and like get latest version. So I've got the ability to do all the essential stuff as far as connect to a TFVC repo, bring it down locally, check it out. I can lock files. I can add more files into the repo. I can get the latest versions of those. If I make a change, I can commit. And when I commit, I've got the ability to associate it with a work item like a bug. So if you're trying to fix a bug, very common that you've got it reported up in Azure DevOps. And when you go to do the commit, you want to associate those two so you can have the history to track that. So it supports that workflow. And that's what we really focus on, making it possible to get your code, change your code, commit it and track it with a bug.
Yeah, super cool. So it's a little bit more than just with that little initial box that connects. You can actually do a lot of nice stuff in there. It's really cool. Very cool.
So with that, let's round it out real quick here with some of the stuff that's coming, if that sounds good. All that you saw just there beyond the little sneak peek at the light bulbs, all of that is in 7.6 today.
Oh, cool.
The TFVC support, again, go on into the extensions gallery and you can get it under the version control category and try it out. Now, looking ahead toward our 7.7 release and even a little bit further toward 8.0, which will be the next big major version of the IDE, the big themes for our work, again, are around performance and reliability, really addressing reports we've had of typing performance issues or various issues across the IDE around just perf is kind of a common theme. And we've done a lot of work to better proactively identify where are the perf bottlenecks, do targeted improvements on those over the past few releases. In the 7.7 release, the editor is a very big space of focus there. We've had probably about over 190 bug fixes at this point, just around all these different optimizations and focused efforts off of performance and reliability issues, the reports we've had through our developer community site. So there's a lot of goodness in there. From the editor perspective, some big changes you can see feature-wise beyond the light bulb, which we've talked about, the light bulb states and the screwdriver. we've taken and we've replaced the way we do brace completion, or like automatic quote insertion, and we've adopted the way we're actually just using Roslyn to do that and integrate it in the IDE, versus before that wasn't something we'd adopted yet in our editor from Roslyn. We had our own way of doing that, so now we've swapped that in with the Roslyn experience, as well as automatic indentation and formatting. So that will vastly improve some of your editing experiences working with brace completion and quotes and new lines. So for example, I've got this array of accounts and their addresses. If I go in and I add a new one here, I'll talk as I'm typing because it's really hard to see these things on the screen. But in this case, I'm putting down open curly, and it, you know, it automatically inserts a new curly. If I hit enter, it nicely formats, and there's some formatting on those for you, respecting the spacing, and the indentation stays relative. I put in a company name here. You'll see the quotes were automatically inserted for me, and I can get type over too. If I hit an end quote, it'll just type right over it, stay out of the way of my flow of typing, rather than doing some weird things where double quotes show up as I, and you know, there's some confusion that can happen around that. So those little tweaks there become pretty significant as you work with source, and things like this kind of example of code here where you're flowing through the curly braces and indentation, it just kind of gets out of your way now a lot more.
Yeah, that's really nice, because often I'm switching between Visual Studio and Visual Studio for Mac, and I still type the same way even though it's a different keyboard, but it's really nice to see kind of these improvements that, since I'm so used to just the flow and some of the common things that are kind of standard now, especially with those curly braces. That's one of my favorite things. I used to go and delete it, and now it just seems like it formats everything for me.
Yeah.
Very cool. And you mentioned that there's a dev community. Is there a way for people to submit problems and submit like new features that they want?
Yes. Good question. Actually, if you go in the IDE, all of that you can get to right from our help menu.
Okay.
So if you come in, this was also another thing that changed up in 7.6, which is our report a problem tool. So now, before we would take you out to the developer community site, now we've brought that into the IDE, and this helps streamline, you know, reporting a problem to us.
Oh, wow.
And you can see problems you're following along with that you may have reported. I can come in and say, report a problem. I get some tips for how to set this up. And guided walkthrough of how to create a new report. I'm going to show one thing here. And what really helps us out is I can do things like include a screenshot. And for attachments here, we've got a quick button that would let you grab all of your log files. That's a common thing we need to do when we're troubleshooting issues down in the Xamarin tools or the IDE as a whole, is you report an issue, one of the first things we come back with is, could you please attach your log files so we can take a look? Now with this report a problem tool, it's a lot quicker to grab a screenshot, throw it in there, add your log files, and kind of streamline that process for us.
Very cool. Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's actually something that I have to do from time to time. And like even going through this when I'm using new previews or something, I'm like, oh, there's this little thing, and maybe it's not working exactly how I want. And it's good to give feedback and let us know what's going on. Very cool, Jordan.
And then the you also mentioned, as far as providing a suggestions, kind of the final thing there is, again, help menu. If you choose to provide a suggestion option, this now takes you to the new feature suggestion functionality up on the developer community website. So immediately I can come in here and, you know, make a suggestion for something we could change in the product, and this goes straight to us. Well, you can also go out to the developer community site, and there's this feature section under which you can go and add your own votes for something you may want. We talked about TFS version control, so there's an item representing it. This was a recent change, too, by the way, using developer community for suggestions. We used to be on user voice, so we've moved a lot of different items, and we're, over time, moving some more items from user voice over to here, and then we pick up the voting on this website.
Oh, nice.
So now I can come in and upvote this option on the page, add some comments, kind of keep up to date with what's going on here. And you'll see, too, that we're the status on these items gets updated, too. So when something's brand new, we got a little bit of a turnaround, and then we come around and we'll flag it as under review, and you can go and read all about through the there's a help link here on the dev.com site about how suggestions work, and it talks about the way the statuses work and what our timeframes are for responding on these. So this is a good spot to go and see what do we already have on our roadmap, what's under review, what are some new ideas, and help us understand what you need from the IDE, what we can do to improve it.
Awesome, that's super helpful. Yeah, I mean, it's always, like I said, great to give feedback and know exactly where to go now. Oh, cool.
Cool.
Anything else that you wanted to show off at all, or is that rounding about it?
That's rounding about it for now. My last kind of call-outs for anybody, too, is if you're interested, we talked about roadmap. You can take a look. We have a published roadmap for Visual Studio for Mac right now that talks about work coming up in our 7.7 release, 8.0. We'll move this further to other releases as time goes by. But this is a real good summary page here for what's at the top of our minds right now. And this includes the Xamarin tooling, which I didn't talk about a whole lot today, but this includes the initial ideas for Xamarin tooling in VS for Mac, what's coming up, say, in 8.0. And there's also a blog post that tees up where we're starting to go with Visual Studio for Mac 8.0. So depending on when this video gets published and everybody sees it, this post may be old news, could be new news, but it's still relevant talking about where we're going with 8.0. And so it's a nice summary of what we're planning to do there. And it adds a little bit around of a discussion around the roadmap that we've now rolled out to start talking more openly about the plans there.
Well, awesome. Yeah, thank you again, Jordan, for coming on, showing off all these brand new features. It was great. I'll put links to everything in the show notes below. Until next time, this has been another Xamarin Show. Go check out all the brand new features in Visual Studio for Mac and tell Jordan what you want for everything. I guess he's over there. I was pointing at my computer, but he's there. So until next time, this has been the Xamarin Show. I'm James. Thanks for watching.